Welcome back to Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal. You know, all right, let's face it, the economy is not so great. And it can be rough on many people, many individuals, and especially on families. So what do you do when maybe the economy is affecting you personally? And I'd like to read you a quote from someone who is doing something a little bit different. The quote is, "The moment it looks as though all is lost is the precise moment you have nothing to lose." And that quote is from our guest, Wendy Esger. Wendy is taking this opportunity to take her family off track. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Betsy. Hi, Sal.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. And can you please explain to us what it means to take your family off track?
Okay, well, let's just take it from the pure word form, which is off track, meaning were we on a track? And we certainly felt as though we were on a track, as I think many families do. And different suburbs, different states, different type of lifestyles lead to a different track, but they all are a track. And ours was, you know, the soccer and the baseball and the dance and the religious school and the chess and the school and the homework and number of things.
So, no, the stuff I call happy chaos. Married couple, raising kids, and the kids have a bazillion activities. So basically, you wake up, you know what day it is, and you know that from the minute you wake up until the minute you go to bed, you're booked with life, your own work, the kids' school, and the kids' activities.
Exactly right.
Okay, but things happen. You know, things happen when the economy isn't so great, and all of a sudden, you have to look at things and say, all right, something may need to change, or maybe this is an opportunity to make change. So what happened in your family situation, and how are you taking your family off that track?
Great. Okay, so we're on the track, right? And the other part of that track is the parents. So my husband owns a real estate development company, growing it, terrific, doing well, 40 under 40, happy, great. I've got my own business, idea generation, we're all doing it good. We're on the track. We're okay. Then comes a year and a half ago, and Michael, my husband, coming home saying, it doesn't really look great. It could even be getting worse. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, and then the next week it's a little worse and a little worse. And I start feeling elated. Giddy, almost.
Wait, elated?
Elated.
As his economic forecast and his job prospect looks worse, your mood goes up? Because I don't think I understand you anymore.
The inverse relationship. Shall I explain it?
You know what? This is where that quote comes from. Am I right?
You're right.
The moment it looks as though all is lost is the precise moment you have nothing to lose.
It's Janis Joplin.
I love it.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. But tell me how.
Okay.
I got to go back to that elation.
First is the, of course, feeling of, what the heck is the matter with me? Am I actually hoping for my husband's failure? Is this what I'm feeling? This is very not okay.
No, that part I understand.
It did not take me all but maybe a few hours of actually thinking about this to realize that this giggle rising up inside of me, or this happiness, so to speak, was opportunity presenting itself. And for me to say, when you're on the track and everything's humming and zipping and going along and he's building his business, there's no way that you could do anything different. There's no way that you would look at something totally off track or something very different, because you'd go, no, because he's growing the business and we're doing this and we're doing that. And so if it really looked as though all was going south, wow, we could really do something different here. We could really do something that we would have never had an opportunity to do before, or at least never thought we could do. So that started me thinking and doing what I normally do, which is I ideate for companies and think of new products and services for companies. So I turned it inward on my own family, and I thought, well, what is it with every change, good or bad, comes opportunity? That's for sure. So what was the opportunity that sat here? And I said, it's time. We're going to have Mike to ourselves like we'll never have him again. I mean, it will, and if we blink, it'll be gone. So okay, we got to grab it.
So the opportunity that you identify is the opportunity that dad's business will not do well, and he'll either be fired or his business will close, and therefore he will have a chunk of time to spend with us. Is that the opportunity?
That's the opportunity. And whether it actually was that the business wouldn't exist or not, it was that real estate is in a lull. And that lull means things are like not progress, just at a standstill, and we have a moment.
So what did you do? You had this idea and you said, all right, we're going to have Mike for a while to ourselves. How can we turn this into a really positive thing? Because let me be frank here. having the husband home for an extended period of time might not be a positive thing.
Well, I agree. Having him home might not be a positive thing. But taking ourselves into a new adventurous situation together as a family and exploring together is a horse of a different color as far as I'm concerned.
So we need to tell everyone what you're doing.
Okay. So first it started as, okay, let's go live in another country. We were all disgusted with the way the country was a year and a half ago. At least I was, my husband as well. So I was like, let's just go live somewhere else. Let's learn another language. Let's immerse in another culture. And as I'm telling him this each and every day and Googling till 3 a.m. every night and telling everybody I know that we're leaving the country, he is like, he's trying, poor guy, to really be supportive. He really is. But then finally he's like, every time I think about this and every time you mention it, I'm seriously getting nauseous. Like, I almost, like, throw up in my mouth. I don't even know what to do.
So anything that requires a passport probably isn't going to be his ideal.
Totally. And it really was about the leaving the country because he's like, if my business is in a tenuous state, the last place I want to be is not here to be able to. So.
And we have to remind people, you've got 3 kids. Aiden is 11, Charlie is 8, and Rosie are 6.
Right, you got
Nobody's in high school. Is the 11-year-old in middle school?
Yeah, he's sixth grade.
So
right?
Sixth grade is the oldest. So, but you're seeing this opportunity to completely move your family,
right?
And back to hyperventilating over needing a passport.
And he's like, can you please? And I'm not really one to let go. Like that's not a real, you know. But I was like, all right. Part of this is also about making this work for everybody. And while it was a buoy for me to think about leaving the country, it was literally cement shoes for him. So it was like.
Had you picked a country?
Okay. It was either Argentina or Chile.
Oh. So close to the same time zone.
Right.
Makes it easier.
So I did let it go. And you know, it was funny because he was like, you know, I'm doing this thing with business and I'm trying to tell people that we're going to work this thing. And somebody said to me, well, that's funny because my wife said you're leaving the country.
So, all right. So you changed the tune.
So we changed it.
What did you decide to do?
So then we were driving over Thanksgiving. We were driving to New York to visit my sister. And as we're driving, and we love a road trip. We just started doing road trips like last summer. And we just, I call it that we have good like karma. And we just are the happiest having no schedule to be beholden to. And we love it. And everybody's, you know, we just achieve a good harmony in the car. So as we're driving, I remember that a friend of mine had told me that she saw on TV about a family who sold their house, got in an RV, and for 2 years they've been, you know, out on the road. And so I'm thinking about this and all of a sudden I just seed the idea, you know, to Mike as he's happy, he's driving, and I say, you know, we could do this for a while. Wouldn't that be neat if we did this? He's also like a total gearhead, loves flashlights this stuff.
You might need some hazard flashes.
Totally. And different like barbecue stuff and whatever it is. So I said, what if we went in an RV for a while and looked at this country?
Right. What guy doesn't like the idea of an RV?
I gotta tell you, our father put us, Betsy and I are 2 of 4 kids, and we did a road trip in an RV.
It was fun.
We went down to Louisiana, to Texas, Tennessee. It's kind of fun.
But the idea of taking your kids for 6 months, which means they're going to miss some school.
You got it.
You know, and you guys are going to be gone for a long time, and this is a big commitment. You are turning it into a whole learning opportunity.
Right.
And you're a former school teacher, so that's not a new idea for you.
Right. I'm not a school teacher, but I have taught like college courses and done some teaching.
Wait, so how do you go from a vacation to New York to 6 months on the road?
Well, first of all, we had 12 hours in the car to figure out like the budget. And I never like to focus on the budget and I hate the numbers because I'm just the creative entity.
But you guys are in the front seat.
And we're sitting there and I'm like, and I know he would be concerned about that. So now again, I'm putting my brain in his and I say, well, let's do the numbers.
And at the same time, your kids are listening.
They sure
this
are.
Whole conversation.
They might or might not be. Sometimes kids are plugged in with
they
earphones.
They were not. When we go on a road trip, in our van in particular, I made sure I could only get a van that had no DVD. We don't do that in the car.
Do you listen to a book on tape?
No, but we'll read. Like, I would read out loud or play game, you know, that kind of thing. If it really got rough, we might pull out, if we had to, like if we're driving like a 3 or 4 day driving thing, maybe pull out the portable DVD player.
Right.
But not.
Okay, so that means
that
the kids could be listening.
Right. So they're probably listening, and certainly they've gotten an earful day in and day out for the past however long we've actually been planning it. But so we really punished the numbers. That's kind of, you got to punish the numbers. You can't just say, well, I think this, but we had 12 hours to punish
them. But you're 12 hours in a car. How do you know how much an RV costs to rent or to buy?
Turns out there's cell phones. Let me guess.
You got it. I'm like totally, Wi-Fi enabled on my little, Verizon Storm or whatever.
How much are you buying or renting?
So first we started off, when we put it in, we're like, we're definitely going to rent. We don't want to be strapped with this thing when we're through, right?
Strapped? Airstream? You're never strapped with an Airstream.
Think about going into Hertz and saying, I want to rent a car for 6 months.
Yeah, it's probably cheaper to buy it.
It's cheap. I mean, they're like, you got to be out of your mind. To rent an RV for a week is $2,500.
All of a sudden, you're going from, all right, we're going to be out of income for a while, and now this is going to cost us more money.
Okay. Now, here's where it depends on what track you've been on, and I think you guys know what I'm talking about, and maybe some of the listeners, but, you know, we were on the track of two kids at overnight camp and one at regular camp and all these summer activities, organized sports. That pays for the RV.
You free up a little cash. I'm wondering if you could pick up a used one in this economy.
Absolutely.
Is that
absolutely
what you did?
So we were going for the used one, and we eventually, because of dealing with the manufacturer direct and trying to do something like a sponsorship and whatnot, we were able to get a good deal on a new vehicle that they wanted to promote. So, you know, it kind of was a win-win.
Well, all right, this is an interesting idea. We're going to take a quick break and ask Wendy to stay with us to talk about how she's turning this bad economic situation into a real positive, a positive for the whole family, and going off track. And by the way, you're going to be able to follow their adventure at familyofftrack.com. There's a fun video to watch. But we're going to get into how you are turning this little family vacation, which is what we'll call it, extended family vacation.
Family sabbatical
into what I think is going to be a business opportunity.
Great.
So let's see where we go from there. We'll be right back.